heart, that he might give those words to us and that they might find place in us. We also would pray for all those on our prayer list, Lord, that you might guide us in all righteousness this day, Lord, and that we might serve thee, both spiritually and physically, Lord. Humbly we ask these things in thy Son's most holy and precious name, thy Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Brother Warren and Brother Darren, would you take care of the administration for us? By the way, for those of you who do not know who Grandma Malone is, that's Karen, by the way. Let's use number 188 for our second song. Once again, I want to welcome each one of you here this morning, and I pray that you have come with a prayer in your heart for our brother Glenn, that he will be given liberty to speak those things that you and I need to hear. I don't know what his message is, but I know that God, I'm confident, has placed it upon his heart. And so with that, I give you our brother Glenn.
Good morning. These are my notes, but don't be afraid. I'm only using one page. One thing this night thick book does is brings my reading closer to my eyes. Kind of needed. Don't be surprised if what I have to say today is part of a continuum of things that goes on to the evening service and extends from previous services like last Sunday evening. Because sometimes God works that way with us, and we are surprised ourselves at what has been put together by our separate musings and the answers to our prayers. This morning, the first prayer that we had offered was at the beginning of Sunday school. And the Sunday school superintendent thanked God for a beautiful day and for our lives and for our happiness. I thought that was an interesting thing to say, for our happiness. And I'm wondering, you know, are we thankful today or in a position to be thankful today for our happiness and for our lives? We have a sunshiny day. That's nice. That's easy. Are we thankful for our lives that God has given us? We haven't authored life ourselves. It came from God. Are we thankful for our happiness? Or are we one of those who is not happy? I'd have to say if we aren't happy and we do not enjoy life, that there is reason for us to look inward, because these things are resolved between us and our God, and it involves the love that we have for our fellow man, each one. I want to talk a little bit today about stewardship, which is kind of interesting that I thought about that, and that's been on my mind a lot lately. But as I examined the issue of stewardship, I kept making it wider and wider and wider until it encompassed almost everything. And I could go on for several sermons on it, I suppose. But last Sunday night, Mark Hill used the scripture about the parable, the uncompassionate steward. You might remember the story. He was left in charge of things. But before that, he had a great debt to the one over him. And he came contrite and pleading about that debt. And he was forgiven that debt. Otherwise, he would have been sold, and his family sold into slavery with someone else. But he was forgiven that debt. And then, while the owner was away, he had occasion to deal with a servant of his who had a debt to him. And what did he do? He didn't forgive the debt. He put the servant in prison until he should pay the debt. Well, you can't pay a debt when you're in prison, because you can't work while you're in prison and make money. So the man was literally put away. And then he was confronted with that, because he had been forgiven, but he would not forgive. And don't you see that we're all in that same position? Because God has made a provision for us to be forgiven. And when we have sins, which of course we all have, we can repent of those sins and come to our God and receive forgiveness. Well, that's something that we have been given stewardship over, the mercy of God. And that's really what Mark was preaching about last Sunday night, was the mercy of God. And we have stewardship over that mercy, because God has given it to us, each one of us, individually, and all of us collectively. And so what do we do with the mercy of God? And I'm going to talk a lot about that today and some other things that are related. But we have stewardship over the mercy and forgiveness that we have from God. And we have to decide what we're going to do with it. But a good place to start is at the beginning. So I'm going to go to Genesis chapter 1. That's where things began, right? And I see here in verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over everything, every liveth thing that moveth upon the earth. And he gave us then things to eat and a place to be. He gave us life. And so we have the benefit of that life, each of us. And we have dominion over this earth that God created. He put us on it and gave us dominion over it. We have stewardship over this earth. Now, in my professional life, the last career I had, I was one of those stewards because I was in charge of wastewater control as it comes from industry. So I kept, of course, preaching to the industry people how they should preserve water so that we have water to be used downstream that's clean enough to be made drinkable. And so that was part of the stewardship. So I was involved in part of the stewardship. But we're all involved in this stewardship because with the earth, God gave us many other things. He gave us life. I could say life is time. We don't know, each of us don't know how much time our life is. God didn't tell us how long our life would be, but we've been given time. And what do we do with that time? It's up to us, each one, if we're going to be good stewards of life and time and all the things that God has made, we must consider what we will do with our time and what we will do with the things God has provided us with, what we will do with our lives. Are we going to be good stewards of these things, or are we going to be poor stewards of these things? And so I want to take us a little bit further with this. On page 86 in the Book of Mormon, we find the words of Lehi. And he said, Adam fell, that men might be, and men are, that they might have joy. So there's that happiness about which we were thankful this morning in the opening prayer. That's the joy that he's talking about. And so men are that they might have joy. That doesn't mean we will have joy, does it? It's up to us. If we are proper stewards over what God has given us, what he has made available and possible for us, we will find that joy. If we don't have it, we need to look inward and look at our relationship with God. And the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time that he might redeem the children of men from the fall. And because they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good from evil. How free do you feel today? What is this freedom? You know, we sometimes complain about how the government impinges on our rights and our private things, and we don't feel very free sometimes. So we feel that the people around us, our relatives, and the demands of our life each day are taking away our freedom. But it's not true, because the freedom that God gave us is always with us. We call it our free will. We each have the right and the privilege of choosing what we will think and how we will act and how we will behave among each other. We have that freedom. We can choose Satan. We can choose sin. We can choose those things which will drag us down. We can choose things which destroy ourselves. Or we can choose life and joy and happiness and peace. It's up to us. And we have stewardship over those things which God has offered to us. How will we use that stewardship? And so we are free, going on, to act for ourselves and not be acted upon, save it be by the punishment of the Lord at the great and last day, according to the commandments which God hath given. Wherefore, men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto man. And they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediator of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil. So we can put ourselves on a destructive path, a path of self-destruction, or we can put ourselves on the path of joy and happiness. It is our choice, and that is what God has given us, the freedom to make that choice. And so we have life, and we have time. These are probably the greatest gift that God has for us, life and time. I want to read a little bit from Titus. Titus was given some interesting instructions, and he passed them on in what he wrote in the second chapter. And it's hard really to know where to start here because this is so full of good things. But I'll start with verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And so we have this choice and this opportunity to be a peculiar people, zealous of good works. God has put that before us. It is his gift. Are we good stewards over that gift? Or do we let the things of Satan and the things of hate direct us in another way and take us away from that path of righteousness? Do we let anger and hate dominate our thinking? Or are we willing to exercise our free will and turn from those things and turn to God and seek what he would have us do in our lives, how he would have us use our time and the things that he provides us with? These are things to consider. I want to go to Matthew 25. There's a parable here, and it's called the parable of the talents. And good instruction in this. Start with verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. And so that's the picture. He left them in charge of these things that he had given them. And notice that they were given differently to the different ones. And it said, according to their ability. Severally, according to their ability. We are not all alike. As we abide in this room, we have different abilities. And we have different circumstances. We have been born into different circumstances, and we have different ways of looking at things. God knows that and takes that into account. And so in giving us our situations and our abilities that we have inherited, God has provided us with differences and different situations. But he has not provided us with things that we cannot handle. If we follow him, if we believe, and if we have faith. And so, what happened to these servants? Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 that went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. I might say, well, which of these servants did the right thing? Was it right for those 2 servants to put their Lord's money out to usury and gain other money? Or should they simply have done like the other and hid their money so that when the Lord came back, they would be able to present him with what they had saved for him? And here's the way it worked out. After a long time, the Lord of these servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside these 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said to the Lord, Thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. So there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. There is a great lesson here. We have received things from God. We have received life. We have received abilities, talents we call them in our language. We have received talents, and we have received opportunities. Because we live with others, we have opportunities to show God's love to those others. How have we invested those things that God has given us? Have we invested them to get a return for God, that His name be glorified? Or have we buried them because we're afraid? It's a thing to think about. And that's why Jesus gave them this parable, to understand that we're expected to take what God has given us and invest it. And what has God given us? He's given us life and time. He has given us His mercy. He has given us forgiveness. He has given us a way to overcome sin. He has given us the pure love of Christ. How will we invest these things? If we invest them in each other, then we are putting them out to gain, like the 2 servants who were praised. And we have been putting them out to reap joy. And these things will come. And when we meet the Lord and He asks us how we have invested, we will have something good to say. And He will have that good thing to say back to us. He will say, Well done, good and faithful servant, for thou hast been faithful over a few things. We each have a few things to be faithful over. How are we acting as stewards over those things? I looked at the word talents as it's used in the Scriptures, and I found that it's used many times. And sometimes it's weights and measures, and sometimes it's a medium of exchange, money. But always it's something of value. God has given us many things of value in our lives to us and of value to Him. God would not give us anything that was not of value to Him. He created this earth, and He created us, and He put us on it to be stewards over all that is here. And so all that He has given us is of value. We have to look and for ourselves individually and see, what has God given me of value? And how will I invest that thing which God has given me? We have been given substance and food. And you say, well, I went to the grocery store and bought the food. And I worked and got the money and went to the grocery store and bought the food. So it's me. No, that's wrong. It's God. Because without God giving you the life and the talents and the abilities that you have, you would not have a job. And you would not have money. And you would not have to go to the store. And so you would not have food. So everything, Everything that we have is given to us from God. We have to acknowledge that at the beginning, or we'll get nowhere with God, because He knows what He has given us. He knows what talents and abilities you have. He knows what you struggle with. And we're expected to be good stewards over these things that God has given us. I'm going to go to Matthew 25 again. And this time, I'll start reading at verse 14. No, I did read that before. I'm going to start reading at verse 37. Get a little bit further on here. Yes. Jesus has brought up a subject here, which is kind of interesting. I think I'll start at verse 34. It'll give you a better idea of the whole story. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer, and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. This is how we will face these things on the day of judgment. And the day is coming for each of us. The day is coming. We don't know what time we have in life, but the day is coming when we will answer these questions. So what has God given us? He has provided for us many things, all things that we have. The pilgrims had a name for God different from ours. They called him Providence. Sometimes they prayed to Providence. They wrote about Providence. Why would they use the name Providence for God? Because God provides all that we have. We look to God for our providence. So what providence do you have in your life that you can share with others? If we have, we are expected to share. And so, if we know someone who's in prison, we should visit them and give them an understanding that we care. That's not saying that we agree with their crime. No, that's saying that God has given me love and I pass it on. That's good stewardship. I was thinking of my own life and the things that I remember best in my own life with the greatest joy. And there aren't very many, I have to confess, of these things. But I want to pass some of them on to you, just kind of as a suggestion, something to think about. Of course, one day of joy for me was when her father brought my bride down the aisle and gave her to me. But I've had joys equal to that in other ways. One day, I was visiting some friends at the hospital. Their little daughter had pneumonia, and she was in an oxygen tent. That's what they did back in those days. And she was in the hospital a long time. And back in those days, a hospital stay was about $200 a day, even with treatment. Wouldn't that be nice? So I knew that they didn't have insurance or any way of paying for this, so I stopped at the cashier's desk, and I said, I gave the name, and I said, do they have a bill here? And the clerk said, well, I can't give out that information. And I said, well, I got my checkbook, and I said, well, if I write a check here, would you see that it's paid on their bill? And she said, well, I don't know. And she called the supervisor. And a man who looks like he was kind of in charge came, and I made the request again, and he said, well, yes, we'll take care of that. So I wrote a check. And when I left the hospital, I was walking on air. I was full of joy because that was a sacrifice for me, and I made it, and it was wonderful. And shortly after that, I received this bride I was talking about, and we went to live in Wisconsin. And so I told her what I had done, and we went back to the hospital another time. And did the same thing. And I think the third time I went, I was told, well, it's all been taken care of. But in every case, it was a moment of joy for me to be able to do something with what God had provided me to help somebody else. So we have many opportunities to do things like that. And sometimes it's just a matter of being nice to somebody. Sometimes it's a matter of visiting someone who can't get out. Sometimes it's a matter of just giving a smile and raising the spirits of a person that you happen to meet at work or at school. There are many things that we can do to pass on what God has given us. And that's part of our stewardship. I want to go to 3 Nephi, page 668. And you hear many times what I'm going to read. But let's hear it again. And maybe we can put it into a different perspective for you this time. This is chapter 11. I will start at verse 11. And just read two verses here. This is Jesus. This is not just Jesus. This is the resurrected Christ. And he is speaking to a people after he had fulfilled the law of Moses and come to this hemisphere, and he was talking to these people, and he realized that they did not have this scripture from the book of Malachi. So he is telling them that they must write this scripture and have a record of it, and he's doing that for a very special reason. I want you to consider the reason why he did this. The resurrected Christ, quoting from the Old Testament, after he had fulfilled the law of Moses, and he tells them this, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings." That's the answer to the question. "Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." And tithes and offerings. Well, the church believes in tithes and offerings, and we have opportunity to bring that tithe, which is one-tenth, that's what the word means, of what we have, and donate it to the church. And we have many opportunities to make offerings. So what are offerings? I want to talk a little bit more about offerings than about tithes, because tithes we all heard about, and we know that that is the money that we give to the church so that the gospel can be spread. But offerings are really varied. It's amazing what is an offering. Because God has given us not just a means of making money, but He has given us the ability to do things. Some of us are more strong than others, and so we are capable of, well, not me particular anymore, but capable of carrying couches and pianos and helping people move. And so we have men in the church who have moved many people many times. One is behind me on this podium. He and Mark Hill are famous for their volunteering to move people, but they're both grandfathers now. So who's going to come to the fore with the strength of youth and be the movers in the church today and use that ability to help others? That's an offering. And those offerings are like the ones that I was reading about here and what Jesus said to the people. Because it's like, who have you seen needing to move from place to place and unable to do all of this themselves? Well, if you help that person, you are helping the Lord. That's how God will see it. If you help them, you're helping the Lord. And who has need of some funds to get through something they cannot pay? Well, if you're like I was with the hospital that time, and you can write a check, that's an offering to the Lord. You give that to the Lord. Because you're passing His mercy and His providence on to someone else. You're just a steward of those things. You're not the source. Just a steward. Are we good stewards? What else can we give? Well, we have talents, as talents are defined today. The ability to sing, the ability to talk, the ability to greet people and feel comfortable with strangers, that's a talent. Can we use that for the Lord? In the Sunday school class this morning that I went to, we were talking about outreach, about inviting people to church. And we talked about the drawbacks, and it'll keep us from doing that. Well, one of the things is being bashful, I guess. And some of us are less bashful than others and probably should exercise that ability to invite people to come to our services. It's a talent. There are people who can sell things. I can't, but there are people who could sell freezers to Eskimos, I guess. But it's a talent. And so what are we selling? What do we sell in our lifetime that has to do with God? We're told to tell others of our hopes that we have through God. And can we sell the gospel? Yes. Are you a good salesman of the gospel? There are people who are really good at this, you know. It's a talent that God has given them. There are people who are good at cheering others up. I know you know people like this. They come in the room and all at once everything is a little brighter than it was before. And if you've been feeling down, it helps you. It gives you an uplift. It's a talent from God. And if you have this ability, you could share it. You could pass it on. You could make use of it and glorify God's name with it. And, oh yes, here's something that's very important. It's our testimony. And a testimony is not just what we do on Wednesday night when the seeing the prayer is over and then it's time to stand up and bear testimonies. That's fine. That's great. And I'm glad we do that because we help each other with those things. But your testimony is not just then. It's all the time. It's every opportunity that you had to be with someone else. You can bear a testimony. And so what do you do to bear a testimony just anywhere and any time? Well, one thing is if you have been blessed with something and you are telling about the good fortune that you have and someone says, well, how lucky you are, and you can remind them, no, it's not luck. God has blessed me. You can give the credit to God. Or if somebody is praising you for something you were able to do and you've accomplished something at work or in school or something and you get all this praise And if you say, well, it's because of God in my life, give the credit to God. To hear sports figures, when they're receiving their accolades, saying that it's because of God that they were able to do this. I'd say, wonderful. Oh, that's a good steward of the things that God has given us. And we need to be good stewards. I want to go to Genesis chapter 41. There's a story here of a good steward. And I have to credit my son Stephen with this because he put me onto this. But it's the story of Joseph. And let's see. I'll start at verse 53. I think you know this story, so I'm kind of starting in the middle of it. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. And 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. Now, why was there bread in all the land of Egypt? Because God had revealed to Joseph that there was going to be 7 good years and then 7 years of famine. And so Joseph went to the Pharaoh and treated him with this information, and he was put in charge of the granaries and storing things. And for 7 years, he saw to it that food was stored and saved and held over. And then when the dearth came, there was food. And going on here, 55, and when all the land of Egypt was famished, and people cried to Pharaoh for bread, and Pharaoh said unto all Egyptians, go unto Joseph. What he saith to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt, and all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all the lands. Now you may remember that that's what got him reunited with his family, but the point I want to make here is that this is an example of good stewardship, and we can do it too. When we have plenty, we save. Do it personally and in your families. When we have plenty, you save, so that when you don't have plenty, you have. And we can do it as a church. We can do it as a nation. We can do it at all levels. Just take an example from what happened with Joseph. And here's an important point. I don't know if you noticed it when I read it or not, but when they came to the granaries and the granaries were open, Joseph did not give the food away. He sold it. That's an important point. Because if he had just poured out the grain and given it away, the people would not have valued it, and they would have wasted. But because they had to pay, they valued it, and they did not waste it. Parents, remember this when your children want something. That's important, that we value what we receive. And so God has given us many things freely, but they have value. And there is a price. And what is the price? And the price is that we obey His commandments and endure to the end. That's the price. We obey His commandments, and we endure to the end. And so, what are His commandments? Well, too many for me to enumerate today, but you know what things you ought to be doing. You know that you should love your neighbor as yourself. You know your neighbor is everybody around you, not just the ones you choose, and that you should love them. Even your enemies should be loved. And so, that's part of what's required of us. I want to go to Luke chapter 14. Here's another part of good stewardship, kind of related to this story of Joseph, I think, but sort of a different tack to it. I'll start at verse 28. Well, let's see. No, I think I will start earlier than that. I'll start at verse 25, the beginning of the paragraph. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, now this is Jesus speaking, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, this sounds really strange to me, because here is this Jesus who teaches love all the time, and he's talking about hating the very people that we love most. Well, he doesn't mean hate in the same way. And as I read on, you will see what I mean. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And so we have to be willing to leave the things that we're familiar with and comfortable with and take up our cross, which is our task, whatever our task happens to be, and come and follow Jesus. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it, lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Now that's an important part of stewardship. When you start something, be sure you can finish it. Or don't start. That's a discipline that we have to put on ourselves. Do I have enough love to love my enemy? If I don't have enough love to love my enemy, I'd better not jump into things. I'd better get what I need from God. So what comes first? Prayer comes first. And study comes first. And considering what there is about you that is missing and on the wrong track, that you are able to do what you're called upon to do. And so if you might get all zealous over helping somebody with something and find that you don't have the wherewithal to do it. So what do you do then? Well, you say, if I could, I would. And you pray for the situation. And you might pass the information on to others who are able. Or you might get together a group, and then collectively you are able. And we do that in the church a lot. We have a program in this local church to help in Honduras with a school. We do that collectively. We bring together the offerings of many people that we can accomplish the task. We thought it out carefully. We made a plan. We organized a committee. We were building a tower, but we considered the cost before we started building. That's the way you exercise good stewardship, when you don't have within yourself all that is necessary to accomplish the task. I want to go to Colossians chapter 3. And I'll start reading at verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. I could have read other things about charity, but I chose this one because it includes so many things: mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering, and forbearing one another and forgiving one another. You know, God has held out forgiveness to every one of us. And all we have to do is repent and come unto him. And we are forgiven by him. And so we look at each other, and there are some that we have a quarrel with, and there are some that we don't like. But here is the requirement: meekness and long-suffering and forbearing and forgiving one another. That's the requirement. And so are we good stewards over that mercy and charity which God offers us? We are if we're able to do this, which I read. That is the good steward, the one who can forgive, even if there's a quarrel, even if there's hate, even if there's terrible things. We must forgive one another. And it is the bond of perfectness, One place we read that after we've done all the things that God tells us we have to do, like being baptized and having the hands laid on for the Holy Ghost and all that stuff, then we go on unto perfection. Well, this is what it's talking about, the bond of perfectness. We go on to complete that love which we have for each other, that mercy and that long-suffering. In other words, taking what God has given us and giving it to others. That is good stewardship, and that's part of all these things that I've been talking about. What's been given us must be passed on to others. I have a lot more that I could talk about. I know you can guess that, but it's a matter of choice. In Alma 19, verse 45, it says, those who don't make it to paradise but go to the other place are going there because they chose evil works rather than good. They chose evil works rather than good. We have been given a free will agency by our God. He gave it along with our life and our time. And so we spend our life and our time choosing. And if we choose evil works rather than good, we're going to end up where we don't want to be, in a place of awful, fearful looking for of the fiery indignation of God upon us. A time will come when we must stand and be either chosen as one of Christ or hear the words, "I never knew you." And we've been given a lifetime. We don't know how many years. We don't know how pleasant it will be. But we've been given a lifetime in which to reconcile these things with God and take care of what is wrong in our lives, to make up for the wrong turns we have taken, to have mercy and forgiveness for those we dislike, and to bring those that we like with us happily along the path of charity and truth and of thankfulness to our God. And I put in my notes here that when we are thankful to God, we are returning to Him twofold what He has given to us. That's why the Scripture said, "Be ye thankful." I hope that we can think upon these things individually, privately, and put it part of our private prayers, because I know we all have issues in our lives that aren't public, and we need to address those issues, and we need to think about our fellowship, not just of the money that we have, of the properties that God has given us, but of the mercy and love that He has put into the world. I thank you.
Thank you, Glenn. I guess there was a reason that I didn't mention this before, because it fits in with our brother's sermon. If you take your bulletin and you turn it over to the back side, you find a long list of names of people who, many of them are in our midst, others live far away, and yet each one of these need a little of your time. Your time in prayer, because they stand in need. Some of them very grievously, others perhaps not quite so. At the very bottom, there's a name, and I'm picking this one out because I inquired about it before the service, and I don't want to neglect any of the others, because they're all, each one of these individuals is important. But our Laura Chevalier is the grandmother to Danielle Eddy. And she's very grievously ill with cancer, at least three different kinds, I believe. And you and I can say, well, she's 83 years old, she's lived a lifetime. And that's right, you know, none of us know what our lifetime is. It might only be a few days for some. And she has apparently come to the conclusion that perhaps this is her time to go home and doesn't wish to go through all the, I'm going to use the word trauma for the medical world's ways of trying to deal with these afflictions. But that doesn't take away the pain. It doesn't take away the anguish. It doesn't take away the sorrow of those who love her dearly and have to stand by and wait. Find time to pray for each one of these. Sean? It's Tony Wade. He's been in a very serious accident. Let's remember him. I don't know what his age is. He's a young fellow, he said. When you're in that avenue of prayer, remember to be thankful also, because God blesses us many times when we don't even know. I would remind you once again of the fellowship dinner downstairs for those who wish to stay. And let's close with number 226. Let's bow our heads with Brother Trevor.
Son's most holy and precious name, by the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.